Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with Rick Sterling, with Larry on the phone, and we are just about to get started with our program, The Bible on Trial, which is the flagship program of Spirit of Truth Ministry that began way back, 2006 or 7, something like that. And it was the brainchild of Rich Humpel, Dr. Rich Humpel, who wrote a terrific article that is just out there on the web, wherever you can just put it in Google search and it'll send you right there. It's called, what is it? The article that...
Preference versus conviction.
Conviction versus preference. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. And it is a wonderful article, but he was the founder of Spirit of Truth, of the Bible on Trial for Spirit of Truth Ministry, and we are eternally grateful for that. We will get started here in just a minute, but first I want to have you take a pen and write this down. This is our website, at spiritoftruthministry.net. That is our primary website, and there you will find lots of good writing by Rick Sterling, including a book entitled The Spirit of the Church by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. We also have a secondary website, which is spiritoftruthministry.net/SM, and there you will find lots of other good information. We have a Facebook page. It is called Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. And if you want to join us, you can click on the request membership, and we will be glad to put you on the roster. So let us have prayer, and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us a safe and happy and peaceful time together as we search to study and know the truth. Learning the truth is not easy, and sometimes it is not peaceful. Sometimes there are lots of things that impinge upon the thought process that can lead you to truth, which is why I pray for angelic guardianship and spiritual and the guardianship of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as we go through this process, because Satan hates this and he will do anything that he can to stop us from learning the truth. And I thank you for your protection. Thank you for Jesus Christ and his words and his teachings. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and her ministry in translating those words into our hearts and into our minds. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning,
Larry.
Good morning.
And just appearing, good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. Happy morning. Happy Friday.
Yep. It is a beautiful Friday. Now, are you in Redlands or in the canyon?
I'm at home.
At home. Okay, cool.
At home, which is in the canyon.
That's right. Well, you guys, we will see you later. And Rick, you're up.
Welcome, everyone. We believe that we are very close to a brand new day. It's spiritually speaking. I have pondered over the last 28 plus years how I came to be where I am right now, and the fact that what my expectation was at that time no longer has relevance. And why that is. I didn't have someone, some other human being who had been doing research, studying, putting things together to explain where we are right now. I see in the quote-unquote spiritual segment of humanity, in particular the Christian spiritual segment of humanity. And as I talked about last weekend, trying to make heads or tails of what's going on right now and make it fit into what Revelation says. And they're having a little difficulty, but they're still managing some explanation about it. But they don't seem to realize that you can't focus in on one part of Revelation to see its fulfillment in reality, ignoring everything in Revelation that informs us, that is the lead up to that particular point in the prophecy. I believe we are at we've been going through a transition, but we are at the point where the transition takes place. I believe that it will happen soon, but I don't know. I will say this. I believe that it will happen within weeks and not months. What I believe doesn't really matter, but I do share that with you. The one thing that you need to be convinced of is that God, the Almighty, the Sovereign Lord, their existence is factual. You have to know that, not believe that, you have to know that. And how do you know that? You go to Revelation, and you go to chapter 12. And you read this, starting with verse 10. Revelation 12, starting with verse 10. Then I heard a voice shout from the heavens, victory and power and empire forever have been won by our God, and all authority for his Christ or his anointed. Now that the persecutor who accused our brothers day and night before our God has been down, they, and the they is important, they would be the kingdom of God. God the Father, God the Mother, God the Son, and the brothers, they have triumphed over him, which is the devil and Satan, the primeval serpent, by the blood of the Lamb and by the witness of their martyrdom or their sacrifice, because even in the face of death, they would not cling to life. Let the heavens rejoice and all who live there, but for you, earth and sea, trouble is coming, because the devil has gone down to you in a rage, knowing that his days are numbered. As soon as the devil found himself thrown down to the earth, he sprang in pursuit of the woman. Now, for those of you who may be hearing this for the first time, I will let you know who this woman is, because it's very important to know. The woman is...
Would you let me do that? I have a story. This last week, I went with... last Sunday night, I went with my wife to St. John's Cathedral, Episcopal Cathedral in Los Angeles, to hear a Lessons and Carols for the beginning of Advent. Advent is not Christmas. And afterwards, one of the female priests was talking to my wife, and they've come to know each other. And this is a black woman who is just sensational. She is just a delight. Older, she's 78, and still she is retired, but she still operates in the church. And she mentioned the Holy Spirit and inadvertently called her she. Can I encourage you in something? She goes, yes, what? I said, you just called the Holy Spirit a she. And she goes, I did? I said, yes, you did. And it is my firm and convicted belief based on Revelation 12 that the woman of Revelation 12 is not the church, but the Holy Spirit, who gave birth to her firstborn son, Jesus Christ. And we are born of the same mother. And she looked at me, and then she said, that makes total sense. Now, this is a woman who's been an Episcopal priest for years, and you know the Episcopal Church, just not like the Catholic Church, unlike the Catholic Church, ordains women in service in the priesthood. But the priesthood has the same vocation as the priests of the Catholic Church. All right? So I got a chance to testify to what you were just going to say, and that is that this woman in Revelation 12 is the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, she will lead you into all truth.
The pronoun
is not there
in the text.
Right.
In the original manuscripts, the pronoun is not in the text.
It's called anarthros. And given the fact that most of the translations have occurred by men, and especially the early church was very misogynistic.
Well,
you
from the institution of the Catholic,
right,
the Universal Christian Church, Catholic Church.
Exactly. And without Paul, the Catholic Church would not exist.
As soon as the devil found himself thrown down to the earth, he sprang in pursuit of the woman, the mother of the male child. Now, some would say, well, as the Catholic Church says, that this woman is Mary, because Mary is the mother of Jesus. And although the Catholic Church has no, quote-unquote, biblical evidence that Mary was translated to heaven, they go on their false doctrine that the soul of a person at death goes to heaven. So then they have venerated her and made her a co-equal with the Godhead.
She's the fourth member.
And she, they say, is the intercessor on behalf of the people on earth who need intercession. She has then taken the place of her son and the Holy Spirit. But this is a lie, a fabrication of the devil. The woman that the dragon pursues is the Holy Spirit. Now, people say, well, the Holy Spirit can't be pursued by the dragon. The Holy Spirit is not afraid of the dragon. The Holy Spirit gives birth to people. The Holy Spirit gave birth to the Son of God, and as such, the Son of God is the firstborn of the Father. So you have a father, you have a mother, and you have a son. This is how it has always been from the very beginning, a father, a mother, and a son. I have read many times, and I could read it again, but I won't. I'll leave it for now. You can read it. When the Son of God is talking to Nicodemus, John chapter 3. He talks about the kingdom. The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. The kingdom is the focal point of his message. It is the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom.
And as an aside, yes. Okay. As an aside, the disciple of Paul, Luke, does not mention the kingdom in his gospel, does he?
No, neither does Paul.
Neither does Paul.
The kingdom is the purpose. The kingdom was the purpose for the Son of God to come and do what he did, the kingdom. The kingdom is the purpose that the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, the woman of Revelation 12, came to earth when her son went back to the Father. She came here to continue what her son started. And what I find very, very interesting, she is not a flesh and blood being. She is a spiritual being, and that is why she is called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. She is a spirit, and she works in the spiritual
realm.
Now, we are in the physical realm, but our mind, our intellect, can and will to the spiritual realm. In fact, it must connect to the spiritual realm if you hope to learn the truth. We read in verse 11 of Revelation 12, they are the kingdom. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the brothers and sisters. They have triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the witness of their martyrdom, because even in the face of death, they would not cling to life. Why is that? Because they understood that the devil, through his minions, can only kill the body, but not the soul. The soul is the life in the body. Now, the soul does not remain in a conscious state after death. It is in a state of hibernation, a state of sleep, that will be restored at the resurrection when it is awakened from the hibernation. The sleep. So the woman represents the kingdom. Represent may not be the right term. The woman is the kingdom. Her son is the kingdom. And we read in Daniel 7, again, you'll see that I go back to the same texts over and over again, many of them. And what I am hoping is that you will be able to do the same thing. At the very least, what I hope that you are doing is going to these texts to see the connections for yourself. And whether it makes sense to you or not. And then it allows you to be able to discuss with others who have never heard this before. And believe me, they have never heard this before. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I gazed into the visions of the night, and I saw coming on the clouds of the heavens one like a son of man. He came to the one of great age and was led into his presence. On him was conferred. What does conferred mean, Dennis?
Placed upon.
Given to. Yes.
Well, but see, conferred is not essentially a gift, though.
Right.
When you got your degree in nursing, when you were graduate, see, you didn't graduate. You were graduated.
You were given a diploma. You were conferred
the recognition for what you had just done.
What
you qualified for.
Yes.
And you had to take your boards and you had to do all of that stuff in addition to just getting the classwork in order to be graduated. You do not graduate yourself. You are graduated by someone else. Jesus was conferred with sovereignty because he had it already.
He had qualified for it. So on him was conferred sovereignty, glory, and kingship. Now, kingship, what does that mean?
The person who is a king must have a kingdom in order to be that king. If there is no kingdom, you cannot be a king.
So he was given kingship, but he didn't yet have
a kingdom
of people.
Right.
And men of all peoples, nations and languages became his servants. Now, became, what does that imply? I mean, there's all these words in here that people read right over. They just read right over and they don't know what they're reading. Like I said before, when someone that was in the class at church, and I said, "Do you see what that verse says?" And he said, "I've read that verse 100 times, and I never saw that."
Right.
Men of all peoples, nations and languages became his servants. Now you would think that typically when you're reading this, you go, okay, so it would confer sovereignty, glory, and kingship. And then men of all peoples, nations, languages became his servants. But became his servants implies through a process that is completed.
Correct.
Like going to school. right? You go to school, you finish whatever you're doing. You finish your teaching requirements, you get a teaching credential.
Right.
You finish your medical requirements for whatever medical discipline you're in, from nurse's aide to a physician. You qualify yourself.
Which also means, Rick, that there is a qualifying authority that recognizes what you have done.
There is a qualifying process that you must complete before you become what you are working to be.
Correct.
And that's what we're reading here.
Give the text again.
Daniel 7.
Right.
This is in verse 14, but I've been reading 13 and 14.
Right.
This is basically stating that what he did was allowed those who would become his servants to become his servants. He made it possible for them.
And this is defined in Revelation 3:21, because it says, he who overcomes, he who does exactly what it is that you have defined here, fulfilled the requirements. We see that again in Matthew 5:17. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. It's the trickle-down theory.
Well, and his prayer.
Correct.
In John 17, he said, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. So how do you become his servant? By completing the sanctification process, because that's what he says. The word is what sanctifies. The word of truth sanctifies. So men of all peoples, nations, and languages. Well, that's interesting, because he doesn't use this. Now, this is, what book are we reading from?
We're reading from the book of Daniel, chapter 7.
Daniel. Well, is this before or after the Son of God came to earth?
I would think just time-wise, maybe 2,000 years. Yes.
I know. Rick, that is a stupid question.
No, it isn't. It's not a stupid question. And it's before, interestingly enough.
So, and who's having this vision? Who's having the vision?
Nebuchadnezzar.
No, this is Daniel's vision. This is Daniel's vision.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, he says that men of all peoples, have to do the same process to become his servants. He doesn't say to the Jew first and then the Greek. To the Jew first and then the Greek.
The Jew first and then the Christian.
He doesn't differentiate between the salvation process for Jews and for Gentiles. He says right here, this person, one like a son of man, who is the Son of God, he is the Son of God and the Son of Man, and that he qualified to allow all peoples, all nations, all languages to become his servants. Where do we Where do we read that? Well, we read it in Revelation in several places, but most often I refer to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, the very last three verses of Matthew 28, which is called by many, or most Christians, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came up and spoke to them, the disciples, the 11. He said, "All authority in heaven and earth and on earth has been given to me." Oh, sounds like what we just read in Daniel, isn't it? "Go, therefore." This is a command. He says, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. He didn't tell them to go to the Jews. What is Paul talking about? They made an agreement that the disciples would go to the Jews, and he would go to the Gentiles. Because, you know, the Gentiles, they have a different way to salvation. And Paul never talks about the kingdom. He talks about the body of Christ, the body of Christ. This is how you get in the body of Christ. He never calls it the kingdom. His message is not a kingdom message.
Right.
The kingdom doesn't exist without the law being enforced. And you know what Paul has to say about the law. So, all men of all peoples, nations, languages became his servants. His sovereignty is an eternal sovereignty which shall never pass away, nor will his empire ever be destroyed. Now, we use this empire and everybody thinks, empire, that's a bad thing. You know, you have an emperor. That's what an empire, you want an emperor. In Daniel, the vision of Nebuchadnezzar, the dream vision of Nebuchadnezzar, concerned empires. The image had the empire of Babylon, the empire of Medo-Persia, the empire of Greece, the empire of Rome. And then at the very end, there are empires and kingdoms, nations. Then there's a stone. The stone. We talked about the stone many, many times. The stone absorbs the nations, kingdoms. Revelation chapter 10, another chapter that I go to frequently, the last verse, which is verse 11 of Revelation chapter 10. "Then I was told, you are to prophesy again."
Now that's an interesting word, isn't it?
I find
that is a very interesting word because John was told to prophesy, to write down what it was that that God had shown him about the end of time. So if that was the way it was supposed to be from the beginning, why would God then say at the end of this chapter, prophesy again to different nations, tongues, kindreds, and people. So how does the nation become different?
Tell me, how does John prophesy again?
Right. Is he going to live until the end of time?
John's not around.
No.
How does he prophesy again? By what he's just doing.
Right there.
You are to prophesy again, this time, about many different nations and countries and languages and emperors. Back to Daniel 7. Starting with verse 15, I, Daniel, was deeply disturbed, and the visions that passed through my head alarmed me. So I approached one of those who were standing by, and I asked him to tell me the truth about all of this. And in reply, he revealed to me what these things meant. These four great beasts are four kings who will rise from the earth. Okay. Those who are granted sovereignty are the saints of the Most High, and the kingdom will be theirs forever, forever, and ever. Woo, there it is in a nutshell. Then I asked to know the truth about the fourth beast, different from all the rest, very terrifying, with iron teeth, and the truth about the 10 horns on his head, and why the other horn sprouted and three original horns fell, and why this horn had eyes and a mouth that was full of boasts, and why it made a greater show than the other horns. This was the horn I watched making the coming of the one of great age, until the coming of the one of great age. That is not the son. That is the Father.
Mm-hmm.
When did the Father come? Well, thrones were set in place, and one of great age took his seat. That's when he came. He came into the courtroom of judgment. Now, something happened that allowed this court to start its process. Verse 10, the last part of that last sentence, a court was held and the books were opened. What happened that allowed them to open the books and start the process? Again, we go to Revelation 12. And we read, they have triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the witness of their martyrdom, because even in the face of death, they would not cling to life. Let the heavens rejoice and all who live there, but for you, earth and sea, trouble is coming, because the devil has gone down to you in a rage. No. That his days are numbered. How is it that his days are numbered?
Well, I've also heard knowing the number of his days. what would cause Satan to know that time? He understands prophecy. He can
he knows a significant
portion of it.
Portion of the future.
Right.
In fact, he knows when his time is up. He knows when he's lost the war on Earth, the same way he lost the war, a war of narrative against truth. Narrative against truth. And truth won. Truth always wins against narrative. Verse 21 of Daniel 7. This was horn at watch making war on the saints and proving the stronger until the coming of one of great age who gave judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High to take over the kingdom.
And okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're scratching your head and going, what? I didn't see anything. When the time came for the saints to take over the kingdom. So he goes through another, he talks about the war. He then goes to verse 20, words against the Most High and harass the saints of the Most High. He will consider changing seasons and law, and the saints will be put in his power for a time, times, and half a time. But a court will be held and his power will be stripped from him. So that time, two times and half a time, has to be in the past.
Yes.
It has to be already over, and that it ended when the court will be held and his power will be stripped from him, consumed, burned up. And utterly destroyed. Can't get any more final than that.
And there's no coming back from that.
This happens. This happens because, verse 27, sovereignty and kingship and the splendors of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Who are the people of the saints? His sovereignty is an eternal sovereignty, and every empire will serve and obey him. Here the narrative ends. I, Daniel, was greatly disturbed in mind, and I grew pale, but I kept these things to myself. Daniel probably didn't totally understand this because it says, you know, it says in the next chapter that he. These things are beyond him. Now the next chapter is very important and does apply, but what I want you to understand and I want you to turn to Matthew. What I want you to understand is We are seeing this happen before our eyes right now. That prophecy was given to Daniel around 2,500 years ago, give or take, yes. 2,600 years ago. And we're seeing this happen before our very eyes right now. Right now. So don't tell me that God is not involved. And don't tell me there isn't a God. Now, I can give you concrete proof that the earth opened its mouth and swallowed a lot of lies that the devil. And what that is talking about is the spiritual war that's taking place on earth. The devil has lost because the earth has given evidence to refute his lies. Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 42. This is another one I've read many, many, many times. But I found that it takes reading a few times before it goes, oh, yeah. Read that text 100 times. I never saw that, but I see it now. So stay awake. That is the key. You say, well, I'm not asleep. Well, maybe you're not. But you were. And there's a lot of people out there who are sound asleep and totally unaware of what time it is. Have you ever gone to bed and you just really had a deep sleep? You slept better than you have slept in ages. And you wake up an hour or two after you would normally. You usually wake up at a certain time, like clockwork. Get up, and I get up this time and that. And but this time you have slept so sound. Don't go to sleep spiritually. And most of you were asleep. You're waking up. Because you do not know the day your master is coming, and you may sleep right through it.
So this cannot be the second coming.
No. No, certainly can't be the second coming. It is a second coming. Or it is the second coming, but it's not the coming in the clouds.
Right.
You may be quite sure of this, that if the head of the house, the master of the house, had known at what time of the night the burglar would come, he would have stayed awake and would not have allowed anyone to break through the wall of his house. Now, why would someone have to break through the wall of his house? Because the door is locked and I'm standing at the door knocking and nobody's coming to the door to let me in. They're all sound asleep. So I guess I'm going to have to break through the wall. Therefore, you too, you also, you as well, must stand ready. Because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. What sort of servant, chapter 7, verse 14, and men of all peoples, nations, and languages became his servants? It's a process to an end. What sort of servant then is faithful and wise enough? And what, you know what it says here? Faithful enough for men to place them over the household to give them their food at the proper time. What is the food? Apples and oranges and beans and rice and...
The truth.
Spiritual food of truth. Now, this is what I see. A fulfillment of this right here, what Daniel heard, and people and nations became his servants. Became his servants. All started with this one person who became what sort of servant then is faithful or trustworthy. I like that word better. And the Greek word is trustworthy is one of its meanings. Trustworthy and wise enough for the master to place him over his household. Why would he do this? Why would he take one person and place him over the household?
Because there has to be a single and singular source of truth.
Because he has to be trustworthy and wise enough to help others become his servants too.
Correct.
They have to become, when they become servants, that's where they are. That stone brings us back to the stone. The stone cut out without hands is the servant that is trustworthy and wise enough and get to that as it is. The Elijah who prophesied to come at the end of time.
These are the days of Elijah. Thank you, Rick. We will see you tomorrow for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus, Rick Sling, and we hope we'll go to our websites, primary website, spiritoftruthministry.net, and our secondary website is spiritoftruthministry.net/SCM. So on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is us wishing all of you a wonderful day. And Lord willing, Creek Don't Rise, we'll see you all tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com/for another edition of our program.